This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I'm going to start with a nice word in Parsha Shemois. The well-known Remez in Balatirim, by the Shemois B'nai Yisrael Abu Mitzrayim, who said, Tehillim, there are those that say more Tehillim these weeks of Shoivivim, and this Remez in these words. The Chstifke Rebbe brings a word from Rabbi David Zlatipali, who is the son of Rabbi Yechon Chstifke. He says, David HaMelech, Chazal say that David HaMelech asked a tefillah from Hashem that anyone who says Tehillim, it should be as if he's being Oisik B'Neguim V'Ahalas. Now, what does Tehillim have to do with Neguim V'Ahalas? So he explains that also the Gemara says, Lushin Ein Udam Roye Niga Atzmoy, which is really talking about the coin and when it comes to looking at Neguim. But it means that people don't see their own faults. People only see someone else's faults. Everyone's very good at seeing what someone else could do better, where someone else is going wrong, where someone else is thinking about themselves, where somebody else should be working on themselves. We're very good at that. When it comes to ourselves, and each person has to perfect themselves and work on themselves and improve, that's where it gets a little hard, or more than a little. So, Ein Udam Roye Niga Atzmoy. And he says that David HaMelech asked that when somebody says Tehillim, the Tehillim should be as if he's being Oisik B'Neguim V'Ahalas, which means that it should help him come to see and realize his own faults, his own shortcomings, and where he has to improve. And that's something that's not always so easy. And hopefully in the schiz of saying Tehillim, we should be able to get there. So obviously when it comes to anything about relationships, anything about marriage, anything about shulam bayis, it's always so easy to notice where somebody's doing something wrong and have all the good information to tell them. Just recently I sent out an email about doing a project where parents of married children often have what to tell their children, but they don't want to say it, or for whatever reason they're afraid to say it. And, you know, having a platform where people could share ideas, where parents could share what they feel that they wish their children would know, but they don't want to say it. And the same the other way around, where children feel, if only my parents would know, if only they would understand better that now I'm married, things are hard for me, I don't appreciate when they tell me this or that. So whoever wants could send in an email to me at rabbigruen@lahayr.org. I'm collecting information, collecting ideas that many people wish their parents or their married children would know, and maybe somehow we'll be able to help the public understand these ideas. My point is just now when it comes back to relationships, it's so easy. Each person knows what they want the other person to hear. And it's very good. Very often it's important to have the other person hear the right thing and to help them out with that. But sometimes we have to hear what somebody would want us to hear. So, you know, just like this idea alone, where you have children, married children of parents, so all the married children want their parents to be educated. All the parents want the children to be educated. As important as it is for people to give over their ideas that they feel the people on the other side should be hearing, it's at least as important to be able to hear, okay, so what are the people on the other side saying? Right? I'm a married couple. What would my parents want me to know that they're not telling me because it's not appropriate or not proper or not reasonable, or for whatever reason they're afraid to say it, but what would they want me to hear? So many people are interested in sharing what's on their mind, but not interested in hearing what's on someone else's mind, and that's always a problem. So hopefully with the idea of Tehillim, the idea of working on ourselves, we could understand what we should do to improve better. And very often, actually, it means that even seeing part of someone else's fault and shortcoming, and just knowing which part of it has to do with me, I don't have to take all the blame for it. But if I'm noticing that my parents, let's talk about parents now, if I'm noticing that my parents are doing something wrong, and I'm a married couple, and they're saying the wrong thing, so yeah, it's painful sometimes. But just seeing which part of it, which part do I have in that? Why are they doing this to me? Could it be I'm doing something wrong? Maybe. So I don't have to be at fault. I don't have to blame myself and take responsibility for someone else's problem. But I'm allowed to notice which part of it I maybe should have been doing better. And that also goes into the category of people don't realize where's your part in someone else's shortcoming. And that's very important in every marriage as well. Okay. So let me just read a letter over here. Hi, I look forward to your weekly shurim on Torah in time and enjoy and gain from them immensely. Thank you. By the way, is there anywhere I can listen to it live? Well, you can come to my office every week when I record it, but I can't really offer that because I don't do the recordings at the same time every week. Anyway, I also listen to you on the Olam Telecourse and I have a question. Regarding the idea you spoke about, mine, yours, and ours, I feel that this concept is a little risky to share on such a huge platform. I, for one, was glad that my husband wasn't listening. My husband's a very nice, kind, and caring man. However, he has a major issue with committing himself to obligations. For example, if we discuss that I have an appointment next week, he will immediately say that he doesn't promise to babysit. And true to his word, if something more exciting comes up, he doesn't. Or if I tell him that I need money for something next week, he'll say he doesn't promise to give. even if it's something he agrees I need, and if the time to give me the money comes and he doesn't even make the effort to obtain the money, only if it comes easily. For example, if his paycheck is late, he won't bother to ask when he'll get it, or if somebody borrowed money from him, he won't make an effort to get it back on time. It may come from a place of being afraid to disappoint others, but sometimes it seems like he wants to make sure that my needs don't mess with his life. I'm afraid that if my husband would listen to this idea of mine, yours, and ours, he'd only become more self-centered and believe he's doing the right thing. Also, this concept makes me think that if I implement it, there would be a lot of bickering, like, this belongs to me, so I don't have to do that. Fine, so because you don't, I won't. I would hate to have this kind of threatening going on all the time. It sounds way too selfish, and I think many people can take this to a level which is dangerous for marriage. Okay, thank you for sharing your thoughts. So let me address this. Obviously, every idea could be taken right or wrong, I think. I think that every idea in general, even simple ideas, even just a simple idea where people talk about marriage being about respect and appreciation, right? So you could hear somebody talking about respect and appreciation and start being more respectful and more appreciative. Or you could hear the idea and say, oh, but my spouse is not respecting me. I'm not getting any appreciation. If that's really the core of marriage, then I must have a big problem in my marriage. My spouse must be not marriage material. If I'm not getting any respect. If only she would hear it, if only he would hear it. So everything could be taken wrong. That's first of all. So it's not just this idea that you're hearing from me about breaking things up, what belongs to me, you, and ours, which I'll elaborate on in a moment. Everything can be taken right or wrong. Information in general is information is everything. When you have the right information, you can do everything with it. When you don't have information, sometimes you're missing everything. But applying it correctly and knowing how to understand things properly and only to use them in a benefit, that's something that we have to trust people with. Right? The benefit of electricity and the benefit of anything, anything that we have, could all be used for good or for bad. Chas v'shalom. And it's up to us how to use things. I could say that in general, the feedback that I get for talking about the idea of boundaries in relationships, understanding what's mine and what's yours and what's ours in a marriage, has saved many, many marriages, Baruch Hashem. I haven't heard anyone else discuss it like this, in this context that I try to help people understand it with. But of course, it has to be taken and applied properly. And otherwise, it will always cause a problem like everything else. In general, whenever you hear any advice, use it wisely. Use it wisely. So many people, they hear things and they don't understand what it means to assess, is this helpful for you and how is it helpful for you? If you hear something that's not helpful, disregard. If you hear something that is helpful, make sure it's helpful. Instead of chas v'shalom using anything that you hear, for worse. It's a big concept. I don't want to talk about it that much, but when you learn from others, when you see something good, right? You come from a home where you saw certain good things. You can use that for good or for bad. You can start comparing your spouse the whole day and saying, wait, how could it be? My mother was so nice to my father and my wife is not being nice to me, etc. And everything could be used wrong. Or you could just learn what you saw at home and try to implement all the good things. So this is a general concept that, the Chochma Loimed Mikol Adam is the wise person who's ready to always keep on learning and always learn from everyone, whatever it is they can learn from them, for the good. Obviously, if he's learning from everyone, even taking good and bad, he's not a big Chochma anymore. So that's that. Now, let me talk a little about the boundaries, which is something I talk about often. Right? Boundaries means that in every relationship, as close as we are, as connected as we are, as much as we're involved one another and we want to be one, as we call it, we're not really one. So often when somebody's, I think I mentioned this joke recently, somebody said the marriage is about becoming one. The problem is when we start fighting about which one. Which one are we becoming? Are me and you becoming me or me and you are becoming you? Now, that's a problem. Because two people never really become one. As much as we think it would be wonderful, it's the best scenario, you don't really become one. When people are becoming one, it usually means that somebody's trying to swallow the other person and turn them into one. And how could it be that you want something that I don't want? It's a problem. In every relationship, there will always be the me, the you, and then the us. And the us will not take away from me, and the us will not take away from you, and you will not take away from the us, and that's just how it works. So there's always going to be, in every relationship, it could be marriage, which is the closest relationship, and it can be business partners or neighbors. There's always the relationship that takes the us and the we and the part that belongs to both of us, which we both have to be respectful about that part because it belongs to both of us and neither of us should be controlling what belongs to both of us. And then there's the mine and the yours, which we should both leave for each other to still, let's call it control, or to feel comfortable about or feel good about. And it's very, very important. There are topics that I talk about in my book, Get Along With Everyone, that when it comes to an audience, I don't feel comfortable talking to men and women together about. Because very often, when you talk about a topic that's too revealing about what's causing a certain issue in a marriage, it's sensitive, because you don't know if a couple's hearing this and they're getting ideas and they're going to leave the lecture or the speech or whatever it is and start, oh, so you heard what he said. It's that, is this part that makes a problem in a marriage. Okay? So you shouldn't anymore. And very often there are things that, you know, it has to be custom tailored to who you're talking to, when you're talking to men, you're talking to women, and you can't necessarily talk everything to everyone. The idea of boundaries is something I do feel comfortable talking to men and women about, even though, of course, everything could always, like I said, when you talk about respect and even just general ideas, everything could be taken wrong. But I think this is important for both men and women to hear and implement and appreciate together. Yes, there is the mine, and there is the yours, and there is the ours. And if anyone's worried that the other one shouldn't find out about this, that alone is a problem. This is something I feel is very important for everyone. Now, what you're mentioning is noticing that your husband's self-centered, and you're afraid he'll become more self-centered. I don't know if he's self-centered. I don't know if that's how you're looking at him, if that's correct or if it's good at all. I'm not sure if he's just missing a lack of clarity, which means part of what he might be missing is understanding what is ours. How do you take care of a wife? What are the things that you should both be involved in or taking each other seriously? Maybe he doesn't know that. Maybe it's a lack of education. And maybe it's a lack of communication. Maybe if he'd be clearer about things, he would also be able to do them better. It becomes a problem sometimes when you see someone as self-centered or obnoxious or selfish or whatever it is, and then you start using that narrative in your head to understand why someone's doing something. You just live with it, and you get resentful about it, but you don't do anything about it because you're assuming this is a fault, this is a problem, a deficiency that this person has, instead of seeing it as something that maybe could be clarified and taken care of. It doesn't sound like you have a bad husband at all. I mean, you mentioned clearly that he's nice, kind, and caring. So if you married someone nice, kind, and caring, why would you assume that he's just very, that he doesn't want anything about you to mess with his life? Maybe he just doesn't know better. Maybe he should communicate better. Maybe he'd benefit from hearing something about boundaries and realize which parts that belong to you, or at least both of you together, he should be taking you more seriously about. And Enechanami, there might be parts that you don't want him to know about, because maybe he will realize that there are things that Itaka doesn't have to bend over backwards just because you want something, which is also something that not everyone likes to hear. But I think what's more important is to understand that the idea of boundaries is not the basis of a relationship. It's clear that the basis of a relationship is connecting and caring and giving and taking. There are the parts that are fundamental, which means this is what the relationship is about. It's about where do we unite, where do we care for each other, where are we there for each other. That's what a relationship is. Boundaries and the idea of breaking it up and realizing what belongs to who is to avoid problems, to take care of misunderstanding, to overcome the miscommunications. That's what the boundaries is about. So if you're afraid that your husband will hear that a marriage is about boundaries, and now that's not the basis of it. That's not the basis of it. And this is where I think people get stuck, when they think that boundaries are putting up barriers and just breaking things down to isolating what the marriage is all about to a few little things, and everything else is just mine and yours, and then we're good. That's not what it is. Boundaries have to be implemented together with everything that you learned about marriage and everything that you want in your marriage. And you still have to have just a certain categorization and understanding of what really belongs to who. You know, to use the word boundaries as a negative term, where we're protecting ourselves from each other and thinking that that's what marriage is about, that's obviously a big mistake. I remember somebody once talking to a mechanech. I was listening. It was a conversation. And he was saying about how hard it is at home, and he's struggling with his children, and he doesn't know what to do because you have to pick your battles. Using that term, you have to pick your battles. And remember, the mechanech turns to him, battles? Why are you battling your kids? Now, he just meant, you know, a point. You want to bring out a point. You pick your battles, why are you battling your kids? But we all know that the term pick your battles is a term often used when it comes to chinuch, right? You pick your battles. You have to know where to shtel zich, where do you put your foot down, where do you take a stance, and where do you let things ride? And it's in every relationship. So somebody doesn't hear a term pick your battles and think that, okay, so you're battling your children, you're battling your wife. Obviously, battles sounds like a very bad idea, right? What do you mean, pick your battles? What kind of idea is that? When you understand the term for what it is, you realize, okay, it's not terrible. Yes, there are battles. Technically, you're trying to get something, they're trying to get something, you're trying to accomplish something, you have to pick your battles. I think it's the same thing with the term boundaries. It could be misunderstood and misused and seen as a barrier and a protection and a distancing idea. But when you implement it correctly and you realize that marriage means that we're connecting and we're caring and we're loving and we're living life together, and then we're still having boundaries just to make sure that we don't step on each other or smother each other or control each other, I think that's when it's a healthy idea. Life was never intended to live on your own. Hashem wants we should live together. And the idea of healthy boundaries in a relationship and understanding what does belong to me and you and us is not to distance ourselves from each other and now live on our own within a marriage. That was never the idea. There are some people, not that many, but there are people that life is so rosy and they so are on the same page and they so always want the same thing and they're so there for each other that they don't want to know from boundaries. What's mine is yours, our foot hurts, it's all the same. Whatever you want is good for me, whatever I want is good for you. You know, there may be situations where people don't even have to know about these things. And maybe we're so one that, you know, we always want the same thing. Okay? We always want the same temperature in the room, we always like the same flavor ice cream, we always want the same vacation, we always have the same ideas, we always have hashkufa. Beautiful. If there's really such a thing in the fantasy land coloring book, marriage, go ahead. That's wonderful. Then there are people who don't have to hear much about boundaries because they have a natural instinct to be respectful to each other and they don't have to be taught about it. So sometimes you don't hear much about it and there are couples that are living just fine for 50 years straight because naturally there's a certain respect and a certain consideration they have for what's important to each other that they let each other live. But very often it's important for people to hear it and to understand it and realize, oh, it's true, I might be asking for too much, I might be trying to control too much, I might be trying to demand too much, and the same thing is the other way around. I might be being controlled and demanded of and tolerating too much. And that's also, I think it's important and healthy if everyone to understand it. I don't think you have to be afraid of your husband or wife hearing about this. I think that when applied correctly and people try to understand it for what it is, I think it's always helpful for people to realize that we should not be controlling each other. We have to let each other live, we have to let each other think, we have to let each other like things, and that's very important. Now, there is a general breakup of obligations in a marriage, which also, there's also an idea that sometimes people don't like to hear about, right? Where, generally speaking, always general, and always has to be tweaked and applied appropriately, a woman is taking care of the household, the husband is providing a livelihood, there are things that are set up in a way that when people don't want to acknowledge that, okay, so again we're getting stuck on what belongs to whom, who should be doing what. The woman tries controlling her husband to take half the load of the housework. He's trying to demand that she go and bring him more panusa. There is a breakup of how Hashem set up a Yiddish Ashtib. So understanding this idea of who's supposed to be doing what, it's not dangerous. Oh, so it becomes tit for tat, so if you don't help me at home, I'm not going to help you with panusa. That's not how life is to be lived, but we still have to be clear about what should be done by who. We don't have to be so afraid of these things. I think it's the same thing when it comes to boundaries in general. I think it's important to understand, what do you have to do, what don't you have to do? What do I have to do, what don't I have to do? Where should you be more understanding of me, where should I be more understanding of you? It doesn't have to turn into tit for tat, and if you do this, then I do that, and you don't do that. But just understanding it and breaking it down, instead of just living, you know, with the elephant in the room and not saying anything when something's bothering you, I think that's also important. So when something's bothering you, what do? You have to talk about it. You have to communicate. There's a famous Zohar. I think it's a Parsha Tazria, if I'm not mistaken, where the Zohar says that it's worse to not say something that has to be said than to say something that shouldn't be said, which means there's so much emphasis on Lushon Hara and Rechilas and Nevel Peh and Chazar Shum, things that you know, we don't want, that shouldn't be said. Right? We learn Chas Chofetz Chaim, Shmei Salushin, Chazar Shum, someone's saying something he shouldn't. The Zohar says it's a bigger problem to not say something that should be said. Now, generally, this is understood to mean that if you could give someone a good word of chizik or hadrucha or whatever it is, things that should be said. You have to give misa, you have to teach, the things that have to be said. And not saying something that has to be said is worse than saying something that shouldn't be said. That's what the Zohar says. When it comes to relationships, very often you see this. And some talk about it by Yosef HaTzadik, v'leochel dabbel zashul, you see the brothers didn't talk to him. Not talking, so on the one hand, Rashi says it was a mala, they didn't talk because they didn't want to say the wrong thing, but not talking was what let resentment and hard feelings bubble, and that's what makes people more unhappy. So if something's bothering you, you know, the thing about, not, I don't want my husband to hear and I don't want to know, if something's bothering you, say it. What's bothering you? Talk about it. Now, of course, you have to say it the right way, if not express yourself clearly. You have to avoid all the bad feelings that come along with expressing yourself the wrong way. But if something's bothering you and you feel that your husband's not taking you seriously, or that he doesn't know how to care for you or be there for you or make sure your needs are taken care of, or whatever it is, you can definitely talk about it nicely. You don't have to go in threatening mode. You said you're afraid there will be bickering and threatening. I don't know. I think all that could be avoided. Even when you want to threaten someone, it shouldn't be said that way. But in general, clarifying your needs, saying, I really want to go somewhere, could you please babysit? And when he says, I don't know if I could, then without sounding like you're threatening, I understand that it might be hard for you. If it's too hard, you don't have to. I hope it's going to be okay with you if I ask someone else to do it, and he might not want that to happen, or he might have to spend some money on having someone do it. Again, it's not threatening. It's communicating that this is important to me, so if you could do it for me, thank you. And if you can't, because you're not obligated to, then please understand how I might go about something. It's not threatening. I don't think it's threatening. I think in general, to know how to tell someone nicely, I really want to be there for you and take you seriously with this. I would appreciate if you could do the same for me. It would mean so much if I could feel that, you know, when I go out of my way for you, I know you go out of your way for me. It's not called threatening. You're expressing yourself nicely and you're making it clear to someone there's something very important to you. Very often when you ask for something, whether it's money or time or babysitting, and someone turns you down and you don't say anything, he might not know how much is bothering you. The fact that he doesn't know might be bothering you even more. And the lack of communication is very often what's just getting in people's way. Now, practically speaking, just because of the examples you're giving me, I have no idea if what you're asking for is reasonable. I have no idea if your husband is seeing the same thing that you are. Maybe he would tell me if I would ask him, you know, you realize your wife asked you for money and you said you don't know if you can give. Oh, it's the 10th time this week she's asking for money. If you'd only know what she's asking for, you would probably tell me to tell her no right away. And I don't want to say no. If I have extra money, I'll give her. I don't know. Everything has to be applied properly. It's so easy for us to see our side of a story. I have an appointment. Why is he not babysitting? He might be saying, what do you mean? This is daily. Or I have a schedule. I don't know what she thinks. She thinks that because I'm in coil, I don't have a schedule. I don't know. I think that communication, though, and understanding, both of you, to understand what belongs to you, what belongs to him, what belongs to us both, how are we dealing with this? If it's an appointment for the baby, right, and this is technically something that belongs to both of us, not that every husband has to do all the appointments, or the wife, but I'm saying if it's an appointment for a baby and he doesn't want to babysit the other kids, then maybe you can ask him nicely, so what are we doing about this appointment? I can't go to the appointment with our child if our other child is not going to be taken care of, so what do we do? That's called ours. Why is he controlling that you take care of it, for example? I don't think he means to control. I'm just saying when you break it down, you understand what does belong to who. How do we communicate it? Let's make sure we understand each other. I don't think you have to be afraid of sharing this idea. I think it should be helping both of you. And if you're afraid of sharing the idea because maybe there are things that really don't belong to you and he should be more in control of whether it's his schedule or it's money or other things, then yeah, I think you should be open to understanding that that might just be the case. So in general, like I said, boundaries is not a way to live. And getting stuck every day on, but I don't have to, but you don't have to, but if you don't, then I don't. That's obviously a very kinderish, a very childish way of working a relationship that I wouldn't suggest to anyone. But I do think that understanding, you know, what people are or aren't obligated to do, and being open and honest about it, and then still knowing how to communicate nicely whenever something is bothering you, or whenever you want something, and respectfully knowing how to ask for something instead of demand something, or respectfully knowing how to communicate when something is on your mind or on your heart instead of just getting upset about it. I think these are things that could help anyone in every relationship. And like I started off with, just a general understanding and acknowledgement of Ein Udem Roye Nigeh Atzmoy. We always see what the other person could be doing better. It's so hard to see where, if only I would communicate better, or if only I would be doing more, or if only I would be more understanding, more flexible, or more easy about things. Maybe that would be the answer. I don't know. So I think this is something we should always think about. We don't have to always be self-critical and take all the blame. We don't always have to assume that I must be the problem, but we do have to be able to assess the situation and acknowledge that maybe there are things that I could be doing better, maybe there are things that we could discuss better or address better at a better time and a better way. Even just communicating and being more expressive and explicit and knowing how to say what's on your mind is something that often people don't do, that could cause problems. But in general, if we're understanding of each other, then hopefully we'll be able to, you know, achieve the both the Ayinu D'Meroi and the Gatsma, will see what we could do better. We could sometimes even help people see what they could do better. And amidst them, understand each other, communicate nicely, and live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.